You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
And welcome back. We have reached the final hour of our program. We appreciate all of you for joining us. Our next guest, I first got to know being a guest on Tony Kornheiser's podcast, which he used to do at Tony Kornheiser's restaurant, which he no longer does. But he's also been a longtime CNN contributor. He's worked for the Washington Post, and those are just the bad parts of him. He's got a great book out, though, entitled Power Players, Sports Politics, and the American Presidency. Huge sports fan. I did his podcast recently and heard about his fandom to his alma mater, the Georgetown Hoyas, which there has to be some good news, Chris. You guys finally have a new coach.
I cannot tell you the joy that having Ed Cooley brings me. It was such a long time from Craig Eschrich to John III to Patrick Ewing that we were in the Big John era, which was a good era. I mean, I don't want to badmouth that era. Georgetown won national championship. We had amazing teams. But towards the last 20-ish years of that era, it was tough. So it is really great to have a break with that era. I'm thrilled for Ed Cooley. I follow all the transfer portal news closer than I follow politics, certainly closer than I follow politics. So yes, it is a good thing. I finally have something to be excited about. Now we just have to get our Georgetown football team up into a place where we can talk about it.
Yeah, well, please call me when that happens.
Yeah, I'll make sure to keep you on I'll make sure to dial you as soon as it does.
Yeah, Chris, you spent so much of your life and career in politics, and what the world did not need was another political book. But what you have here is, to me, is really exciting, because you've brought politics into sports, and you've zeroed in on that person that we all love and hate, usually hate, the president of the United States, and the intersection of sports. And I know the current president allegedly played football somewhere. We all know about going back to Eisenhower being a golfer and a member of Augusta. So take us through your route into this.
You're exactly right that when I, you know, Paul, and I know you care about politics and know this stuff, so I take it as a huge compliment from you. So thank you. When I first started thinking about the book, what I didn't want to write is some polemic about why this side is bad or that side is bad, or, you know, why one party should go away and the other party should be ascendant. It's a really hard line to finesse, to be honest. So as soon as you mention the word politics or you mention American presidents, it feels like people immediately kind of bunch to their sides and never move from there. I wanted to write a book that a Donald Trump person would like, that a Joe Biden person would like, that a George H.W. Bush person would like, that a fan of, you know, the LSU Tigers would like. You know, I wanted to do something that was political, yes, but not polarizing. And so that's where we landed on this idea of, okay, well, let's look at one common theme of all these presidents is they all played sports. Some did it at an elite level, Gerald Ford playing at the University of Michigan. Some did it at a pretty impressive level, George H.W. Bush playing first base and being the captain of the Yale baseball team. Some did it at a recreational level, and some barely did it at all, like Lyndon Johnson, who really could only – he cared about politics, politics, and politics in that order, didn't care about sports. But I wanted to figure out, okay, well, what can we say about these guys that tells us something both about sports and about how they governed? And that's how we landed on the book.
And I don't know the people that you know, but I have a friend that once covered the Texas Rangers, and he said some of the most delightful conversations he's ever had in his life were with George W. Bush when he was the president. And then later friends have told me if you want to have a fun conversation with W, talk about baseball.
Totally. And by the way, fun fact about George W. Bush, he wanted to be MLB commissioner long before he wanted to be president of the United States or governor of Texas. Before Bud Selig was named, Bud Selig was the owner of the Brewers. Before Bud Selig was named interim commissioner, he eventually became full-time commissioner. Bush like looked seriously at potentially being commissioner of baseball. He and Faye Vincent were friends. Faye Vincent was the commissioner of baseball, was a friend of the family. Like that's a path he legitimately could have gone down. That he didn't, and obviously he runs for governor of Texas, he beats Ann Richards, he becomes president of the United States, and things go a different way. But even after his presidency, there are conversations that happen about him maybe coming in and being commissioner. So I think to understand him is to understand his relationship with his father. To understand his relationship with his father is to understand that the father was a very good baseball player, George W. Bush, a little less good baseball player, still our first little leaguer who became president of the United States. But think about it. Baseball goes through his whole life. He has those T-ball games at the White House. He cares deeply about it. He sees it as a fundamentally sort of American pastime in a way that a lot of people now don't, by the way. But it's a thread that runs through his whole life.
And you mentioned Reagan. A lot of people, look at him as the Gipper. It was a movie, but it probably played a role, did it not, in his career?
And Reagan looks at himself as the Gipper. I mean, one of the things that I was fascinated by is, I went back and watched the movie, which is, Newt Rockne is the head former star of Notre Dame and now the coach in this version of it. And George Gipp is the flashy, young running back. Reagan playing Gipp is only in the movie for about 20 minutes. It's a very fast story arc. He's really good. He and Rockne develop a close relationship. He gets sick. He dies. I mean, it's really like it's a very brief time he's in the movie. But for Reagan, it was seminal to him. He takes on Gipp and the idea of win one for the Gipper. Right. He's using that line again. This is a fictional character that Reagan is playing, that he brings into his political life going forward. It's fascinating because Reagan is not terribly sporty. He's not into sports. He's not particularly good at sports. But you know what sport he follows, Paul? You'll appreciate this. Notre Dame football. And it's because of George Gipp and the movie. That I talked to people who worked with him. They said that to the extent he ever watched anything on television that was sports, it was Notre Dame football, and it was for that reason.
Chris, you're the guest, but a couple of years ago, I was at something, and afterwards there was another something, and I'm looking across the room, and there's Bill Clinton, and my friends are saying, go up, say hello to him. I said, I don't really know Bill Clinton, but I said, okay. I walk up, I introduce myself, and I didn't say, hey, sorry about your wife who's across the room losing. I said,
right.
How do you think the Arkansas Razorbacks are going to do this year? Mm-hmm. And Chris, yep. you know, 30 minutes later with his
yes.
wife and the Secret Service saying, Mr. President, we need to leave. He's still telling me stories.
That doesn't surprise me at all. One of the two things about that. One, in 94,
Four.
I believe.
No, that's it.
Arkansas is in the national championship against Duke basketball. This is Scotty Thurman, Corliss Big Nasty Williamson, Nolan Richardson. They press the whole game. Goes to the game. He's in some sort of box or something. I mean, he's the president of the United States, so he's in a box. Mac McClarty, his old friend from Arkansas, has to calm him down because Clinton is so vociferous and complaining about the refereeing that the cameras keep panning up to him and he's yelling and gesticulating. And Mac McClarty is worried. It looks, he's worried it looks bad for the president of the United States to be doing these things. One other story that you'll appreciate. So, and you'll know this better than me. The game of the century between Texas and Arkansas is in
69.
Okay, that's what I was going to guess. Okay. Richard Nixon goes to the game. President. At halftime, Nixon goes into the booth, doing sort of like, Nixon is a huge sports fan and he's handicapping the game. And he says, Arkansas is ahead at halftime, but he says, you know, I think Texas is going to pull it out. Young Bill Clinton is watching that game and never forgives Nixon and brings it up when he meets Nixon.
Oh, my goodness.
Brings up the fact that Nixon jinxed the Razorbacks in that game. And then there's a whole other debate about Nixon at the end declares Texas the national championship. This is obviously before we had the BCS. And Penn State and Joe Paterno go bananas because they are also unbeaten that year. And Joe Paterno attacks Nixon and says Nixon doesn't know what the hell he's talking about and all this other stuff. But Bill Clinton is watching that game and is pissed off to this day that Nixon picked Texas over Arkansas. So, yes, he is a rabid fan.
And finally, and I, of course, I work at ESPN, and we are in Barack Obama's debt for turning the selection into an event, which had not happened prior, and certainly hasn't happened since, with him picking the field. Tell us about Obama and his obvious love of college basketball, and how he used that to get elected.
Yeah. So one thing that's fascinating about Obama, I'll try to make this brief. So Obama meets his father only twice in his entire life. One of the two times he meets him is when he's 11 years old. His father travels to Hawaii to be with Obama and his grandparents for Christmas. As a gift, his father gives him a basketball. Now you think, oh, that makes sense. But it doesn't actually make any sense if you know the history of both of these guys. The elder Obama is African. Basketball at that point is not a thing in Africa. The younger Obama is not into basketball at that age. He gets into it later, but he's not into it. So Obama, and he writes about this in Dreams of My Father, he sees the basketball as like a mission, as a charge, as a way to finally fit in a culture that he had struggled with. Remember, this is a guy with an African father, a white mother from Kansas, and grandparents who live in Hawaii, who spends time in Indonesia and Hawaii. He is other. He's always looking for ways to fit in. And basketball provides him with this culture that's not just cool and interesting, but that he feels as though he actually fits in a place he's never felt he fit before. It's why basketball is something that has spanned throughout his life. It's not just he did it when he was a kid and played in high school. He played before the Iowa caucuses. He played before almost every major vote of his presidential life. He played during his presidency. I talked to Reggie Love, his body man and a former standout at Duke. And he talked about Reggie Love was always scouting places where they could play. It's like baseball for Bush. It's not just a thing that they did. It's a defining trait of who they were and who they are.
What a truly remarkable story. And we've given you some highlights. But Chris, thank you for making time. It has truly been memorable to have these conversations. The name of the book, of course, Power Players, about the presidency and how it intersects with sports. So be well and congratulations on the book.
Thank you, my friend. Always a pleasure.
It is great. What a thrill that was to talk to Chris Ciliza. We are coming back with your phone calls right after this.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We've had quite a show, and we're not done yet. Still 45 minutes for you to join us. And let's, we've had an intellectual conversation about presidents and sports. Let's raise the bar a little bit more right now by saying hello to Larry.
What's up?
Larry.
What's up?
You know what Larry that's doing his own version of the new Bud Light commercial.
Yeah, baby. I mean, I found a perfect woman for Joe from Red Bay, Jack.
Oh, really?
I mean, she's on the face of that Bud Light can. That's perfect for him. They can arm wrestle on everything, you know? Tell Joe he speaks up, baby. Melbaney, that's his woman. Hey, check it out. I noticed you ain't brought up the golf champion. I mean, we're in the golf season. I had the Masters. And you ain't said nothing about me and my buddy, Big and Rich, whooped the Pine Bomb's best at golf, whooped y'all's ass.
When did that happen? When did that happen, Larry?
Three, 4 years. It's been a while.
Well, I was watching the Masters a week ago, and I didn't see you and Rich in Butler cabin getting awarded a green jacket.
Well, you should have won.
Larry, I do not remember what happened about a golf match that I'm sure you cheated in a couple of years ago. So what happened? Refresh our memories.
What cheated? Man,
I heard you cheated. Yeah, I mean, you played. It was you, Larry. Larry, Rich, wasn't John Hayes involved?
Yeah, and Big Dan.
Who was the other guy?
And,
Dan Z. Yeah, John Hayes flat out. Larry, John Hayes flat out accused you of cheating on almost every shot.
Yeah. And boy, he's lucky I didn't go off on him. Whoa, I'm gonna tell you something too right now. And that submarine guy. Dive, Ooga.
Okay, hey, Larry, allow me a question, okay? Did you or did you not move your ball several times during the round?
I never moved
to
my ball.
To improve your lie.
I don't cheat. There is no way that I ever. They're talking about a golf
I understand, Larry, you were playing winter rules in the middle of July.
Look.
Larry, simple question. Is that or is that not true?
What?
Were you playing winter rules in the middle of July?
Well,
How about yes, I was, Mr. Paul. Therefore, I was cheating. Therefore, this victory that you claim does not count.
No, and double no. Hey, we all playing the same rules. Let me tell you something. Big Ten John is the whiningest baby I've ever seen. Wham, wham, wham. Hey, my club was
Larry, I would advise. If you said Big Ten John has been lifting lately, I would not. I would advise you not to besmirch his good name.
Hey, well, I might not. But how about Dan?
And the reason why he's not a violent man, but he might sneeze and knock you over.
Yeah, right. You know what? He wouldn't even arm wrestle me. Me and him got together at that bar, and I done had me some Bud Light, boy. And I grabbed that hand, I doubled up on him and went to go slam him on the... Oh, no, he said, I'm not going to arm wrestle you. No, you got that old man strength. I ain't arm wrestling you.
Larry, you forget I was there.
Chicken? his chicken.
I was there, Larry. I saw the whole thing. And there's not a thing. There's not a thing you're saying that is true.
His chicken. And it is true.
John Hayes.
He even backed it up.
John Hayes could whip you with one arm and one leg tied behind his back.
Yeah, right, Paul. Why didn't he go in and arm wrestle me? Because he knew I'd slam that ass through the table,
Larry, you know what he told me?
No.
He said, I didn't want to embarrass that old man.
Oh, it's on, Paul. We're going to have a little finding.
That's what he said.
Hey,
can you confirm that in the other room? Is that what he said? That's what he said.
What?
I don't want to repeat it, Larry. Hey. It's embarrassing.
No, they was mad. I made a 23-foot putt, the last putt to win the match. And they were mad because the old man whooped that ass, me and Big and Rich.
Big and Rich.
We didn't even get a trophy.
Okay, Larry, we that was 4 years ago. We have moved on, okay?
All right, well, I'll tell you, right now, Big Ten John, looking for you. You better watch out, boy. Where's
Larry, you're an Alabama fan, right?
Yeah, he's a Penn State fan.
Yeah.
He ain't no Alabama.
Well, why are you? Why do you always live in Larry? Why do you guys always live in the past?
I ain't, but you won't do a rematch. Anybody out there want to play Larry with Larry and Shelby, and I'll get me a partner.
Larry, right now in your condition, you couldn't drive the ball 100 yards straight. Team. Larry, goodbye. Thank you. Be well. Johnny B. is up next.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I like it when I get to follow Larry. I was at a thrift store the other day, and I was just looking through some shorts. It was some vintage items, and there was this double-knit coach's shorts. And they fit me perfectly. I ran my hand down the pocket, and both pockets had holes in them. And I reached around back just to make sure, you know, it had phone pockets or whatever. And there was a little tiny pencil in the back with an eraser. And I asked the lady running the thrift store, I said, what's up with these pants? She said, have you ever heard of Larry from Shelby? I said, yeah, he calls in on the Feinbaum show. She said, those are his golfing shorts. He got some new ones.
Yeah, Larry.
And that's how
Larry's famous for the eraser.
Match. Yeah. What I was going to go back a few minutes in the show, and you were talking about what would you like for your last meal?
Yeah, someone asked that.
Anybody that's ever been married or dating, I'm sure can relate to this meme I saw, and it's this woman's been on death row forever, and they open up the door, and, you know, her head's kind of bowed down from the light, and she's got on her jumpsuit and everything, and they said, ma'am, It's time for your last meal. What would you like? And she looks up and she says, I don't know. What do you want? I think everybody that's ever
that's a good one.
Hey, you got me on there. There's my picture. Johnny B. I can see it over there.
Yeah, Johnny. Yeah, Johnny. I'm not at the point in time where I don't want to think about that. Do you?
That's right. Look at that. The White Hat Club is on there. Johnny B's picture.
Johnny B, you're looking good. Now, Johnny, did you used to be a fiddler in Charlie Daniels' band or what?
No, I'm not a fiddler. I fiddled, but not in a band.
You've been fiddling on this car for the last 3 minutes. Hey, thanks for the call. Let us say hello to Vic, who is up next. Hey, Vic.
Hey, Paul. Good evening.
Good evening. Thank you.
The reason I was calling is, and I'm a little late in getting to this, but I thought your interview with Lane Kiffin on Friday was very interesting. And let me say that I think Lane Kiffin is an entertaining, interesting guy. I think he's good for college football. I think he's good for the SEC. But I was struck by how he answered your questions about the NIL. And I can't remember if I was listening on the radio or watching on TV, but he acted like NIL was a result of some random cosmic event or some Big Bang occurrence or something that had just materialized, which is entirely untrue. And I hope that he knows this. But the reason we have NIL the way we have it is because, as you know, there had been unrest for years among the players about trying to cash in on their NIL. And, of course, who obstructed it for all those years was the NCAA. And, of course, in the meantime, they were happy to pay themselves millions while they were preventing the players from getting anything. And then over the course of a couple of years, states stepped in legislatively, as well they should, California, Texas, Alabama, Florida, and then everybody else, allowing the players to make something from their name, image, and likeness. I mean, this was developing. This was like a thunderstorm developing in the in the distance. You could see it coming. And for him, I just thought it was a little disingenuous.
Let me say this second to you, and I otherwise short, like but, it. But you're 100% correct. You've explained it better than anyone could. Kiffin knew exactly what he was doing. He was outraged. It's just not fair. However, he's out there utilizing it better or at least equal to anyone else in the country. We head to the break. 30 minutes remaining here on a Tuesday afternoon.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. We still have some time for you to get in, and Dave is up next in Missouri.
Oh, thanks, Paul, for taking my call. I wanted to tell you, for my last meal, I would want red beans and rice from the South because I met this couple when we were taking the funeral director's license together, pass it, and this gal, I mean, she could make the best red beans and rice you've ever had in your life.
I don't know anyone else has ever said while we were taking the funeral director's license together.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, I mean, what is a normal question on the funeral license test?
Oh God, there's
how much
so
embalming
many of
fluid
them.
To use in a 77-year-old man? I mean, what's the deal?
Well, it's basically the same, the embalming fluid.
Okay.
I don't want to gross
people out. Hey, Dave, don't act like I've ever done it before, okay? I'm just curious.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, well.
So how long were you a funeral director?
Well, I still have the license, but since I had the master's license in electricity,
right.
I went ahead. Chose that, but I kept up the license. $250.
Did you ever? Did you ever practice funeral directoring?
No, but I have witnessed several embalmings.
Okay, I'm witnessing one right now. Let's check in with Mitchell.
You talking
in
about a little bit of dirt there to mess it up? Wow, I sure don't pay that kind of pressure on myself. Hello.
Mitchell is next.
Hey, how you doing, Pop?
Hey, Mitchell.
Oh yeah, I just had it. Not really a question, but for one, I hate to see that Stetson's not going to be playing ball again this year, but how do you think that's going to affect their offense? Think they're going to be just as good without him or not quite up to par?
Well, Mitchell, I think Carson Beck does a lot of good things, assuming he's the starter. But the one thing I don't think you can replace in Stetson Bennett is just his toughness and grittiness, and nothing fazed him at any point. And that's something I don't know about Carson Beck. What is he going to look like when there's absolute enormous pressure on the line, which there was a couple of years ago against Alabama in the title game, and obviously last year against Ohio State in the national championship game? Thank you very much for the call. Bob is up next. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Paul, how we doing?
We are well. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, I'm checking in. What about the SEC baseball? Your Tennessee boys are not as good this year as they've been, are they?
Doesn't look that way, no. I mean, they were the best. I mean, everybody forgets. It wasn't fans saying this. It was the experts last year who said that was the best team of all time.
I agree, no doubt about it. But, I mean, SEC is cannibalizing itself like they do in football because there's lots of good teams. And, you know, I'd rather watch college baseball than pro baseball. If people would watch it more, they would understand why. But Bob, here's what I don't think
is that important, and I think you're right. I mean, SEC baseball speaks for itself, but to win the title, you're going to have to go through, and I'm not talking about during the season, I'm talking about during the NCAA College World Series, you're going to have to go through another SEC team or perhaps several. So losses now are important. It may affect the way things are seated, but I mean, the SEC will have just an enormous number of teams in the tournament. Thank you very much for calling. Tyler is in Kentucky. Hello, Tyler. Go right ahead.
How you doing, Mr. Feinbaum?
We are great. Thank you.
I've been waiting to say that since I heard your story about Mike Greenberg.
That's hilarious. Well, thank you. I'm glad you did.
But just wanted to pick your brain about my Wildcats this year. You think we can have a bounce back year? We had a 10-win season a couple years ago. You think we can give Georgia a run for their money?
Yeah, I'll tell you why. I think the schedule is interesting. There's a game on the schedule that I'm most intrigued by with Kentucky, and it's late in the year. It's not against Georgia. That game comes earlier. But I think Kentucky has a couple of landmines. Alabama is the late game I was talking about. But I don't see Kentucky beating Georgia, so you're going to need some help. But I think the Tennessee game is at home. The Alabama, I mean, Alabama, I don't know why I'm hung up on that Alabama game. I think that's a really weird spot for Alabama more than Kentucky. Now that I look at the Kentucky schedule, there's a couple of tricky games, and I think they're self-explanatory. But I think the season will be better.
What do you think about the odds of Levis going number one? I saw today that he's up to the second best odds to go number two.
I think there's zero that he goes number one. I think he could go in the top five, though.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I mean, Bryce Young is going number one. Now that's a fait accompli. Let's check out TK next in Georgia. Hey, TK, you're on the air.
How you doing, Mr. Powell?
We are doing great.
I just need to ask you a question. With college sports, multiple women, men, who's got the winning this record, national championships in all divisions?
In football?
No, just all of them. Who's won the most championships?
I mean, Arkansas probably has more than anyone in track and field. Nobody's won more than they have, but it's complicated. It really depends on the sport. UConn has 8 national championships in women's basketball. Tennessee has 8. UConn has 11. Tennessee has 8. We all know the football numbers. UCLA had a run in the 70s. 60s and 70s, that was unparalleled.
I'm just wondering, who had in 1 year was the best, you know, with all different sports in one year.
I can tell you that. It's Florida. Florida won the national championship in football and basketball the same year. And that, to me, I'm not diminishing any other sport, but in the two biggest sports that you play in men's athletics, to win in football and basketball the same school year is simply unbelievable. We'll take a short break. More to come right after this. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.